It's here and now, and we have a conversation now that may not be for young ears. It's about a deadly strain of meningitis that's been causing concern in New York's community of gay and bisexual men since 2010. 22 men have contracted the virulent strain of meningitis, and 7 have died. Now, meningitis is spread by droplets, like when you sneeze or cough or kiss. It's exchanged between people in close contact, but not by sex. So why has the infection just stayed within this particular community of men? Dimitri Daskalakis is an HIV and infectious disease specialist at the NYU School of Medicine in the Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan. But late at night, he gives out meningitis shots at gay bars and clubs on behalf of the Gay Men's Health Crisis, a community organization that was founded during the AIDS crisis. So, Dr. Daskalakis, is this particular strain of meningitis targeting anyone else in New York? Is it just gay men?
This outbreak very specifically is focused on men who have sex with men in the city. The reason for that has to do with the fact that it's an enclosed social network in some way. So the population of men who have sex with men in New York are, in effect, a dorm or an army barrack without walls. So I liken it to the idea of there being a measles outbreak in a Hasidic community. The measles don't know that they're infecting a Hasid. It just knows that this is an efficient way to spread.
So you're saying that it's more about a group of people that tends to hang together because these organisms love to spread within a close-knit group of people. But how do you know you have it?
The classic symptoms of meningitis are headaches, neck stiffness, fevers, rashes, and what's called photophobia, which means that bright light is uncomfortable to look at. Those constellation of symptoms together should really trigger an evaluation by a physician. So the time from onset of illness to collapse of someone's cardiovascular system because of overwhelming infection and death can be very, very quick. It's pretty critical to get to care because antibiotics in that setting can be life-saving.
Yeah. And you talk about wanting to create a herd immunity by what? Vaccinating not everybody, but enough people that the meningitis realizes that it's not as cozy a community anymore?
Exactly. This bacterium likes to spread in a social network. If you create immunologic roadblocks by making people resistant to getting the infection because they have an immune response against vaccine, you can really isolate the outbreak and ultimately it will then peter out.
Well, and just a question. You've made it clear that you're more likely to get this from a sneeze, you know, than anything else. But still, the New York Times did a piece in which you are in an after-hours sex club.
Yeah.
And it describes, you know, bare-chested young men and some sort of trapeze.
Sure.
And there you are, your table, you know, giving out shots.
Yep.
How do you counter the thinking that this is a community that has anonymous sex? Why should I care?
We've learned what judging people's behavior does from the perspective of spreading disease. So that's how we've landed with an overwhelming HIV epidemic in the country and in the world, frankly. So when you uncouple judgment of behavior and just look at bare cold science and fact, if you vaccinate people who are at risk, you will prevent infection. The judgment of whether they're having anonymous sex is less important than the fact that we've protected such a large number of them from this infection that we're averting potentially a way bigger outbreak that can spread right outside of the gay community. So after-hours nightclubs are important because, not that you'd be surprised by this, but many people who go to after-hours nightclubs aren't running to clinics to get vaccines and are often disconnected from care because they have other issues that may sort of, you know, be barriers. And so, you know, bringing things to the street and being a medical activist is really what HIV and infectious disease medicine is all about.
Well, it also should be noted that a couple of things. Not everyone who goes to an after-hours club has perhaps told their friends that they are going to those after-hour clubs, so
right.
They're going off into other communities. You have tourists coming in from other parts of the country.
Sure.
And the article also showed a very straight-laced, buttoned-up, literally, gay couple who came in to get the shot who were appalled at the after-hours club.
Yep. It's just a way to sort of create community outreach that's a bit different. And so, you know, the GMHC model, which was the Gay Men's Health Crisis model, which was putting vaccines in the setting of an AIDS service organization and making them available for free and an easy sign-up process to get them without a lot of the sort of garbage that you get in a medical environment is one great model. And then the supplement to that is you take it to the street. The after-hours clubs are a great place to go if you also don't want to disclose that you're gay. And very often those undisclosed folks are disconnected from the news in the community. So meningitis has made a big splash in the gay press, but if you're not looking at the gay press because you're scared someone's going to look over your shoulder on the internet or see what newspaper you're reading, putting it sort of in the environment where you feel safe is the right thing.
Staying somewhat on this theme, the health department has put out an advisory to men who regularly have intimate contact with other men through websites, digital application apps, or
right.
at a bar or party. And we know about the app Grindr, where people can meet anonymously, sort of like a GPS for people who want to meet anonymously. Is there more of that anonymous contact within the gay community, therefore making it more of a problem for healthcare?
I think from the perspective of the meningitis outbreak and other diseases, looking at the apps as being a driver is interesting. I actually think that the apps are more likely a marker for people who are in a social network that are highly, highly social and are interacting in close proximity to a lot of folks.
It sounds like you're also saying it's not the app, it's, you know, whatever, you know, safe behavior you participate in once you use the app. I mean, you can use the apps safely. So, but just to conversely, how has the AIDS epidemic helped when it comes to the gay community addressing a health issue that springs up?
We've learned lessons from HIV, and I think that HIV has created an infrastructure such as GMHC. It's a great example that is sort of poised to respond to health threat. So medicine is never sexy. It doesn't cause a lot of hearts to race, except for maybe mine and a couple of other folks. But this has been interesting to see a community of gay men and men who have sex with men rise up and say, we want this vaccine. We want to get it in a way that is appropriate for our community. This one's not one that we're going to lose.
Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, an HIV specialist at NYU in Bellevue Hospital. With the gay men's health crisis, he's been administering these meningitis vaccinations to gay men in New York. Dr. Daskalakis, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll take a break. And when we come back, I tweeted that we were going to meet house jackers in New Jersey. And Lon Seidman tweeted back, are they stealing the houses? No, they are raising them up, as we'll hear in 1 minute.
And by the way, if you've got anything like that to tell us, you can tweet us at Here and Now, at Here and Now Robin, at Jeremy Hobson. We are back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.